No moral sense.
No lies.
Dirty scumball.
Everything they stand for, it makes me sick, sick, sick.
Spaghetti angel. I'm making a spaghetti angel. When Italian guys die, they turn into
the Cooper and Anthony Show.
You ever think back to like stuff that happened to you many, many years ago that was kind of like, you always wondered, like, I wonder what would have happened to in that scenario. Like, if let's say you had a friend many years ago who was dating a guy that was bad for them, and then you're like, wow, did they ever get married? Did they break up?
Mm-hmm.
Did he kill her? Like, what happened in that relationship?
Did you kill him? Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know. Because, you know, life goes on. When you're young, you know a lot of people. So you know a lot of people who are doing a lot of things. And you can't keep up. Once you have a job, like once you leave college and you get a job and you start having a life, you can't really keep up with as many people like you used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So you just kind of like think in your mind like, oh, well, this is what must have happened. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you know how like you need a conclusion. You can't, if you're watching a movie, you're not going to stop the movie in the last 10 minutes and be like, oh, well, I don't know what's going to happen here. I'll never find out. I'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want the conclusion. You want to know what's happening.
So do you look them up on Facebook or ask other friends? What do you do?
I never do that. You know, I probably could do that. But first of all, I'm not into Facebook. And I don't know that anybody really tells their whole story on Facebook. I don't.
You can tell if they're still married, I think.
Well, maybe.
You can do some research.
I don't know. I don't really care that much, but I'm always kind of like, oh, I wonder what happened to, or I wonder what happened with that scenario. So when I was in college, there was this girl who was, how do I describe it? There was something wrong with her. Like, I wasn't sure whether she was like a sociopath or she was fucking weird is the nicest way to put it. She was fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like I loved her on one side. So she was this girl who my roommate, who is still one of my closest friends, she's this girl who my roommate kind of brought into our little circle. And I just kind of felt like there was something about her that was a little off. You know, let's call her Schmanthony.
Oh, okay. No, call her like Becky.
Okay, Becky. Becky with the good hair, which is good because she had great hair. So Becky with the good hair was just weird. Like there was something about her that was just, whenever you said to her, like, where were you? You knew she was lying.
Mm-hmm.
Like she couldn't just say, oh, I went to go see my mom, or I was out with this guy, or I was shoplifting, whatever it is she was doing. She could never be honest. There was always something about her that you're like, this woman is constantly lying to you about everything.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a good time. Like, she was really fun. She had this cute little car, and she would take us out, and we would all go out, the whole bunch of us, and we would always have a really good time. So
just don't talk
she was
to
like,
her.
You know,
that's the problem. Just don't ask her any questions.
Right. Just go out with Becky with the good hair. Have fun. Party. Don't get too close to her. Just, you know, let her drive you home, but don't ask her any questions.
Right.
But stuff would go missing. So she'd be at my house when I wasn't there, and I'd come back, and there'd be something missing. You know, that kind of thing. So I would say to my roommate, I think Becky with the good hair stole this, you know, DVD or stole your CD player or whatever the little CD Walkman were back
mm-hmm.
then, you know, that's what everybody had. But like
she
shit like that
CD.
Would go missing.
She stole the whole CD player or just the CD?
No. So back in the day, there was the Walkman and then it was a CD Walkman.
Right.
So it was a CD player, but it was portable and you could put your headphones on and go running.
Right. She stole that.
Yeah. So she stole one of those from us. She stole DVDs and CDs. She stole probably money and it was always shit missing. And I knew it was like our hairbrush. It was a really good hairbrush that we had. It went missing.
Mm.
You know, remember she had Becky with the good hair. She had good hair. So I was like, that's how she has good hair. She has our hairbrush. So it was like shit like that was always missing. And I always suspected it was her because she was the only person in our group that was like, there was something about her, you know. And one night I go home for the weekend back up to New York. I went to University of Maryland. So I'm down in Maryland. I come back to New York. And while I'm gone, my roommate stayed there. And she and Becky with the good hair had like, She said a weird night where she felt like Becky with the good hair was kind of hitting on her. But my roommate is straight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Becky with the good hair got her very drunk and they kind of kissed. And she said the only thing she remembers was Becky's hairspray. You know, and she's like, I realized immediately, like, I'm not into women, but it was one of those things, you know, college,
was
whatever.
Was Becky into women?
We didn't know. We didn't know what was going on.
All right.
So my roommate starts dating this guy and Becky comes to the house and she's banging on the door at like 3 a.m. And my roommate did not want to open the door because why is she banging at 3 a.m? It was weird. And the guy that was in like her bed with her, her boyfriend, whatever, was like, I'm going to fucking kill her. No, no, leave her alone. Leave her alone. Just ignore her. Let's just stay in bed. We're sleeping. It's 4 a.m. All of a sudden she hears like glass shattering. And she comes out and Becky with the good hair not only like left her all these gifts and all this shit at the front door, but she smashed all of the windows to our apartment.
No way.
Yeah.
Now she knew it was Becky with the good hair.
Well, because she also left gifts.
Oh, why would a robber leave stuff?
Right. That's the whole thing. She left. She felt probably felt guilty. She stole shit. And she's obviously in love with my roommate. So she brought her gifts. And then when she realized she was in there with a guy, she was drunk and got mad and started smashing our windows. So I come back from my weekend and I see our windows are completely smashed and taped up. I'm like, what the hell happened here? She's like, yeah, I kept trying to call you. I didn't want to fuck up your weekend. But, you know, she tells me the story. I was like, you got to call the police. This is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So we call the police. They get Becky with the good hair. They get her to admit to it. She pays for the windows so our landlord doesn't charge us, you know. And we go on with our lives and we just kind of like cut Becky with the good hair out of our lives. And that's the end of that. Cut to, I get a call about 2 hours ago. One of my best friends in college was also friends with Becky with the good hair. And she calls and she says to me, we messaged a little bit on Facebook or, you know, she texts me, whatever. I was like, let's get on the phone. So we get on the phone. We're catching up on shit. She's like, by the way, Becky with the good hair, I'm still friends with her. I'm like, you're kidding me. She's a psychopath.
She should be in jail by now.
Yeah. I was like, she should be in jail by now. She says, well, when she got back in touch with me, I said to her, you need to admit that you stole all this stuff from me. I was like, she stole stuff from you also? She was like, yeah. And she starts going down a list of all the stuff she stole from her.
Mm-hmm. Hairbrush, CD player.
Right.
Grandma like ring.
Same
all that.
Type of stuff. Yeah. So Becky with the good hair admits to stealing all this stuff from our mutual friend. She's like, all right, well, you know, you've admitted it. And remember I said to you there was something about her that I thought was just off?
Mm-hmm.
This is it. And it makes me really sad. So she's finally out. She's a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, she wasn't comfortable with her sexuality, and she had a lot of anger issues as a result, which makes me sad because our generation is kind of weird. Like, most of the people in our generation that we grew up with, if you're gay, you just be gay. But there are those small pockets of people. I mean, she was from, like, a small town in Maryland, you know? There were just these small pockets of people that just were not comfortable with their sexuality. And she said, instead of just being out and being who I was, she had a lot of anger over it and took it out on, you know, all
and
of us.
She was kind of wacky.
She was kind of wacky. Like, and yeah. That had nothing to do with her.
You can't hide that. You can't hide that she would, you know, okay, she was gay. She was hiding it. But she was still wacky and sane.
Well, but what's interesting is when she finally came out, this is according to my friend I spoke to today, when she finally came out and she was like being her authentic self. She said all that other stuff went away. It was like she was finally her. And it makes me sad because we would have accepted her. We were not people that were – listen, in fact, most of our friends were gay men and they would come over the house. Like, we just didn't know a lot of gay women, but, you know, we were LGBTQ plus. Please bring it on. We got rainbow flags everywhere. Two girls from New York who are in Maryland, please. You know that we're totally down. But, you know, it's an example of how the first person you come out to is yourself. So she wasn't comfortable coming out to herself. So, of course, she wasn't going to come out to us, right? Because she wasn't comfortable with it. So my girlfriend today told me, like, you know, now she's happy. She has a girlfriend. They've been together for a lot of years. She has like a real job and stuff. And it's, she's doing really well. So I was really happy to hear this. But I honestly, based on, I didn't know about the lesbian thing, obviously, but based on everything else that I knew about her, I was like, she's in jail by now. And she, when she told me that she's friends with her, I was like, does she write to you from prison?
Does she call you collect?
She stole a car one night. We were all out. We were just partying.
Of course she did. And lied about it.
She told us, she shows up with this really, this BMW. She shows up with this BMW. We're like, where'd you get that from? She's like, you know, some guy that she knew, whatever, Kevin lent it to me. We're like, all right, cool. She's like, yeah, we're going to be cruising tonight in style. So, you know, we drove into D.C. in this BMW. We had a great time. Come to find out the next day, she went into Kevin's room, took the keys.
Oh, yeah.
Stole his car.
She just didn't to go do for a joyride,
just to impress us for the night.
She didn't do all this stuff because she was hiding that she was gay. She's a little wacky.
Yeah.
And a klepto and a liar and breaking windows is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, but according to my friend today, she said she's calmed down a lot. I'm like, of course she's calmed down. She's 50.
Yeah, it's like a puppy. A puppy will calm down eventually.
Right.
Because they just get old and tired.
Right. So I thought it was interesting because I always wondered kind of what happened to her.
Madness and paranoia.
This isn't just the bottom of the barrel. You've gone under the barrel and dug a hole to Japan.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
Scenario for you. Since it's Black Friday and all the sales are going on and all that. So let's say you have a friend and this friend has a son.
Okay.
I'm not going to say who. And I'm not going to say, it could be a daughter. It doesn't have to be a son. But let's say the son lives by himself.
Okay.
And your friend didn't have financially the greatest 2022.
Uh-huh. Which is like everybody, yeah.
Yeah, everybody. Not a very good year financially in this friend's household.
Mm-hmm.
So this friend asked his son what he would like for Christmas.
The son that owns his own house. Okay. Uh-huh.
The son that owns his own house that makes more than your friend.
Uh-huh.
And okay. So he just says, just off the cuff, what would you like for Christmas? Thinking he will say, just give me a gift certificate, you know, just a coffee maker, just something, cheap. No, he wants a 75-inch Sony $2,000 TV.
Yeah, he should buy one for himself then.
From his parents.
No, that's not, you know, that's the thing I don't understand. Like, this is so stupid. This is the problem with the holidays, because it becomes about money and what you're buying for me. I have two problems. One, the assumption that parents make more money than their kids. It's certainly not true for a lot of my friends, not just the one friend we might be talking about. But also the idea that, like, you're going to fucking bankrupt somebody and they have to go into debt to buy you a gift for Christmas. It's just, feels, it's so wrong and so not what the holiday is about. And your answer, see, the thing is, not your answer, but my friend's answer. That's when my friend needs to step in and be a fucking parent and say, no, I'm not buying you a $2,000 television set.
Yeah, because the friend's kid shouldn't think Santa Claus is going to bring that now. Once you got your own house, then Santa can come to your house. He doesn't come to my house and drop off presents for you to you can come and get it.
I just don't understand the gall of a kid who knows their parents' financial situation and asking for something that expensive. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. And that you know what? That's a failing on the parents, not the kid.
So the parents are bad parents. I will tell them that.
You should tell the parents that the fact that they have a kid that has the balls to ask for a $2,000 gift.
Sony 75-inch TV that, you know, I think the parent would like to have.
Tell our friend, the parent, to say, no fucking way. That's not what I'm getting.
Let me write this down. No fucking way. Okay, so that's what they should. So Christmas morning, when the friend's kid comes over and he has a coffee maker for said kid, he should just say no fucking way.
Coffee maker, that's very generous. I was going to say socks.
Underwear.
You're getting socks. You're getting underwear.
I mean, the coffee maker is, you know, $40. I think the parent can afford that.
Right. That's what Santa's getting you. You're getting a coffee maker. When I said, what do you want for Christmas? I meant under $100.
Right. No, usually the kid says, you know, just give me a mouse pad, something, you know. That's what the friend was thinking. The friend wasn't thinking 75-inch Sony plasma.
But I think that's an opportunity to have a talk with the kid and say, what makes you think that we're going to spend more than our mortgage on a gift for you?
Okay, writing that down too. More than our mortgage, since you have your own mortgage now.
Yeah.
Right. And you have the first dime you ever made as a kid because you don't spend any money. But the parents, they have unlimited funds. You know, that money tree that I planted in the backyard is just, they planted in the backyard.
They planted in the backyard. Wait, because they don't know who this friend is. It's some anonymous friend. Yeah,
I don't know. You don't know him. You don't know the kid either. But they seem very spoiled to me.
Yeah, that's beyond spoiled. The fact that a kid would like ask for that and not like laugh about it. Put it this way. When my parents asked me what I want for my birthday, which is
2 days from now,
which is tomorrow.
Right.
And Christmas coming up. I said, can I go shopping in your jewelry box?
Yeah, but knowing your mom, she has jewelry that is way, way expensive. So,
but shouldn't fucking wear anything. I said you're
going to get it now or get it in 10 years.
Right.
Don't you want I should have it now?
I wouldn't have the balls to ask my parents for anything more than like a $50 gift.
Right. Yeah, that's what that friend was thinking. But that friend was dumbfounded when they found out. And I said, I will talk to you about it because you know things.
Because I'll laugh my ass off. No, you're not. tell our friend that they are not spending $2,000 on a fucking television set.
No, they didn't have the best year financially. Financially, it's been a rough year.
Even if you had a great year, $2,000 on a television set is fucking bananas, unless you are a billionaire. That is bananas.
See, the friend that we have is in radio, so you know what kind of year they had.
Yeah.
And they work with this girl who... Mm-hmm. And she doesn't give them any jobs or anything, so they don't make any money.
Well, you know, I see a girl like this, you know, and I just think I want to score with her, but now I want to just, like, settle down with her, you know, and, like, and get married and have a couple kids.
Okay, Beavis.
Maybe I could score with her after she's really full, you know.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
So today I get the next issue of Time Out New York that I never read. Again, never read it. Mm-hmm. But I remembered the naked issue from months ago, and they have a follow-up.
More naked people?
Well, here's what they did. I guess it was such a very big popular issue that people requested certain people. And they had hundreds of applicants, and they voted for winners. Okay. So out of like...
Winners for what? The best naked person?
Yeah, best naked person. Who you want to see naked more? Who you want to see more naked pictures of?
Okay.
Who is it that you dug so much? And there was like 100 people to choose from. It wasn't like it was, you know, just three people. It's like, oh, I picked that one. There was, you know, hundreds of submissions. They narrowed it down to like the top 50. And they chose the number one guy. And I open up the magazine and it's somebody I know.
Really?
It's a cousin of a very good friend of mine.
Oh, not somebody you dated and already have seen naked.
No, absolutely not. I've never seen him naked, and frankly, did not want to see him naked.
Do you want to see him naked now?
Well, I didn't have a choice because I opened up the magazine and there's this guy I know. It's my friend's cousin, and there he is naked.
But is the Hoochieberg there too?
No. Well, that's the thing. He was very smart. He had an inner tube around the Hoochieberg.
An inner tube?
Yeah. He was like in a kiddie pool.
How do you do that?
you know, you step into the I don't know, he's thin, so he pulled it up over his hoochie bird. But you do see he's got a tattoo and whatever, yeah, so you see it. And the funny part is, now my friend and his cousin have the same name. They had brothers who both wanted to name their kids after a relative, and they fought about it, and both of them were stubborn, so they both named the kid the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend's name is the same as his naked cousin. So all day long, my friend works for a very big news channel, a very conservative news channel. Let's put it that way. Not the place you want to work when somebody with your same name is posing naked. So all day long today, he's been getting emails and people have been giving him, you know, guff about it. So of course I had to also, but you know, just the fact that just imagine opening a magazine and seeing somebody you know there. I didn't want to know that much about him.
So seeing him naked, with the hoochie burg on, that didn't turn you on at all?
Oh, no, the opposite. No, women, see, that's the thing about women. That, you know, Playgirl magazine is not for women. It's for gay men. I can't imagine women wanting to look at pictures of men just sitting there like that.
Oh, I don't believe that at all.
No, I'm telling you.
You're telling me no women buy Playgirl?
I'm sure some women do, but I don't. Nobody I know. That's not. Women like to see men. Women think men are sexy if they're dressed, if they're half dressed, maybe just with a shirt off. I do not want to see you naked. I really don't. It doesn't. I'm not excited about that. I don't like that I've seen my friend naked now. Really bothers me.
He wasn't naked though.
Yeah. Well,
he was covered up. I'm thinking naked is this naked. I'm thinking naked as the guy at the gym walking around putting lotion on naked.
Yeah, I don't. That's not interesting.
Not an inner tube. That's a bathing suit. You see that at the beach.
Yeah.
That's not naked.
It's TMI in a way. If it was this. See, and the weird thing was the other pictures of the naked people, the strangers, I didn't care. Stranger, I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's an interesting tattoo. Or, boy, that's an interesting choice of piercing.
So no women want to see a naked man.
I don't think women do. No women I know. I mean, my girlfriends, I've been to two bachelorette parties where they had strippers, and the women were not that interested.
This is big news. This is breaking news to all mankind.
Yeah, we don't want to see you naked.
At all.
We don't want to see
me. You don't want to see me naked. I understand
that. That's not, women don't look at that and go, ooh, wow, yum.
Really? So if I had a magazine right here that had Johnny Depp and what's that other guy you like? George Clooney. George Clooney and Johnny Depp naked in it. You don't want to see it.
I do not want to see them naked. Nope. I don't want to see their hoochie bergs. No.
Really?
Nope. Wow. This is
breaking news. Chad, run down the hall
Tell
the news station to cover this.
Right.
Because this is huge news to me.
The thing is, the only time we want to see a guy naked is when we're, when it's...
when you can do something about it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I don't want to see a photograph of George Clooney naked. Unless he is in my room and I can have access to him, I don't want to just see a picture of him naked. I'm not interested.
See, wow. Guys think if they put a trench coat on and nothing underneath, they can go and flash you and you will like that.
No.
You don't like that.
We don't like it. We don't like it.
I don't believe this.
It's how we roll.
I'm not going to believe this.
It's how we roll.
No.
Is it Elise?
Yes, it is, Elise.
Oh, hi, Elise. How are you?
Good. I've had the same best friend for 23 years. And he buys the magazine, and he'll make me look at the magazine with him before he purchases it.
Now, he buys it. You don't buy it. He buys it.
Correct. He buys it.
Right, because men are more visual. Straight men like to see naked women. Gay men like to see naked men.
Right. That is true. And I think that you're right. It's just too much of a tease. I don't know other way to put it, except for it's too much of a tease.
Yeah, and when you look at those pictures, you're like, hey, I want to meet him. No, right?
No. I'm just like, wow, okay.
So you don't want to see it either?
No, I don't want to see it either. I would just rather, I think it's just it's too intimate. I would rather it's very intimate that I would want to see.
So what's sexy to you? If a guy wants to come across sexy, what would be a sexy look for a guy?
I like Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, shirtless, long hair, tan, but with shorts or jeans on.
Right.
Yeah, that's sexy.
I'm so confused now.
It just leaves more to the imagination.
Exactly. That's it. We want to use our imagination.
So
in that
when
situation.
We jump out of the shower and do this dance right here, you don't like that?
No, I do not want to see that dance out of the shower. Well, Sean Lee can do it because, you know, he's my husband. But even him, it's like, stop, put that away. Hey, Anna.
Hey.
So what's your take on naked?
Oh, gosh. I think the male anatomy is so hilarious.
Hilarious? Oh, man.
I'm male strippers, I crack up anytime. It's just funny. And that dance, Anthony and Chad, that dance, I know that dance. My ex did that dance.
Yeah, you know the dance they were just
right
doing.
Here.
Yeah,
this dance right here.
Yeah, that's it. Stop doing that dance. I don't even want
to. Oh, my God.
I can't even watch you do that dance.
He looks
dance
like he's having a seizure.
Yeah.
By no means is it sexy.
No, it's not. And the way he does it, even unsexier, because the body doesn't move. Both the top and the bottom don't move at the same time.
I mean, look at her. She's got elbow cleavage. You know that little wrinkle that fat people get on their elbows that looks like a schwa? I mean, you wouldn't have sex with her, would you?
Oh, yeah, I would.
Really?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I don't care what she looks like. I would wreck that chick.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
If you are a fan of the pandas, I have some bad news for you.
Okay.
Ling Ling and Sing Sing are not doing their thing.
They're not?
They're not.
Why?
That's their only job. That's their only job. Well, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this. Chuang, Chad, how would you say that?
Chung?
Chung?
Yeah.
Chung Chung the panda.
Okay.
Is just, he's had too much ring ding. Chung Chung had too much ring ding.
He had too much bamboo?
Too much bamboo. He is too heavy to have sex. Okay. They're trying to mate him with another panda. He's just too fat.
I'm almost there.
It's true. But I was thinking that what a great excuse to get out of having sex.
I'm just too fat.
I'm too fat. I would love to have sex with you, Sean Lee, but I'm putting on weight. Women have definitely, we've used that excuse.
Have you really?
Oh, sure.
That you feel fat or you think you're fat?
Well, no, that we feel fat. So we don't want you all over us and touching us and we feel fat.
So what excuse do you give?
There's no excuse. I'm too fat. I am too fat for sex.
You say that?
I have said.
You're like, no.
I'm like,
no,
don't touch me. I'm not in the mood. I'm bloated. I had too much chocolate.
That's your excuse.
Go away.
Chung Chung the panda.
I feel like Chung Chung the panda. That's my new excuse. Yeah, I mean, we come up with really good excuses to not have sex if we don't want to have sex. Do you want to have sex with a woman who doesn't want to have sex with you regardless of her excuse?
Not answering that question.
Come on.
I said, come up with a better excuse. That's what I would say.
Okay, I want to 877-6-COOPER. What are excuses that are acceptable for not having sex?
Yeah,
you let me know.
Give me the headache thing. The tired thing. I can deal with that. But not that I feel fat.
If I say I have a headache, you know I'm lying. If I say I feel fat, I'm telling you the truth. Ben, you don't want to... If I've got a big tummy hanging out, you don't want to touch a woman that... You're not into that.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's much about the way you look sometimes for some people.
Really?
Yeah. For instance, for me, I hear that every now and then. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, you know, I can understand how she would feel that way, but as for me, you know, to me it doesn't matter as much. So is there anything that I would be able to say possibly to make her change her mind?
I think saying it doesn't matter to me. I know you don't feel sexy right now, but to me you're incredibly sexy.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's what I figured, that there might be nothing at all to say, because, you know, I've learned, you know, just sometimes it's better just to respect the way she feels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to, you know, just, I guess, the way I feel.
But can a guy talk you back into it, Cooper, by saying that?
I think, you know, that's the thing. I think I've said to Sean, I feel so bloated and fat, I ate too much. And I think he just goes, okay, you know, I don't want to have sex with you if you're not in the mood, of course. But I think if he said, I don't care, I think you look hot, and he sort of turned it on a little more, yeah, it might work. Now, Jackie.
Yes.
Now, what do you say about all this?
I say if I don't want it and my husband keeps bugging me, I just tell him no. And he keeps on my neck, I smack the crap out of him.
I love it. No means no.
Well, no is no. That's it.
And but that's the
so
thing.
So you don't
I think,
come up with an excuse. You just say no.
No, I don't have to give an excuse. If they don't want to clean the house, they don't have to give you an excuse.
Oh, no, not at my
house.
They
don't want to do dishes. They don't have to give an excuse.
Oh, yeah, I need an excuse.
Oh, no.
Oh, so that's good.
That's how I reciprocate. You say no, I say no. No problem.
You need an excuse.
Yeah.
you're ugly. How's that?
That's an excuse. That's fine.
I can't have sex with you. Why? You're too ugly for me. I'm
right.
Sorry. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Cooper. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. We love you for calling. Thank you.
Me and my wife are a little bit older, and I guess I kind of hit the bell ringer one night, and she had given me the excuse, you know, the kids kept her up or whatever, and that sort of thing. And I said, well, maybe we could just negotiate another type of sex.
Right.
That went over like a poop in a diving helmet.
That's a great analogy.
But anyway, I just had to tell you about that. I thought that was pretty funny myself. She didn't get the humor in that.
Yeah.
Now, John.
Yeah.
Has your wife said to you the same thing I've said to Sean Lee, where I go, I feel too fat?
Absolutely.
And what do you say back?
Well, the problem is my wife is about 5'4". She looks like Penelope Cruz and weighs 105 pounds.
Ooh.
And when she says that she feels fat, it makes me feel like Ping Pong the Panda or whoever. I have never called a radio show in my life, but I listen to you guys every night on the road.
And, John, thank you. Thank you so much. That's great. Thank you.
This is my first time calling any radio show, but when I heard this, I had to call in. This happened to me about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was right around Christmas time. I'd taken some time off, and I'm thinking, you know, hey, this is going to work out good. And then she looks at me and says, well, I'm feeling fat. And I'm looking at myself and I'm thinking, and I'm not in bad shape. I'm not a huge guy, but I'm probably 6'2", 200 pounds. I'm in pretty good shape. But she runs 5 miles a day.
Right.
You know, so she's tight-bodied, good-looking. And I'm thinking, man, you know, now you guys have nailed it. Next time she says that, I'm going to tell her that I feel like Ping Pong the Panda.
A journey back in time.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Boy, that takes me back.
But the thing is, I thought about not telling you about this dinner because I thought if I told you, there's no way you're going to think this really happened. It was too bizarre a night that I just know that if I tell you the story, you're going to be like, that didn't happen to you. But it did. And I'm going to tell you, whether you believe me or not, I'm just going to put it out there.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, I don't do things on the weekends. And the reason is because I'm busy writing books and doing this and doing that. And, you know, preparing, sitting around waiting for Monday to happen again. But you talked me into going out. And I did. Went out with a bunch of people. It was actually Sean Lee's birthday on Wednesday. So we went out Saturday night for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And
what'd you get him for his birthday?
Lots of stuff.
Like what?
Clothes. Lots of good clothes that he needed, sweaters, stuff for the winter, and all that kind of stuff.
Nothing he would like a PSP game. You got him clothes.
I got him a PSP game. I got him a PSP for Christmas, and it's glued to his hand. So I thought, you know what? Let me at least make sure he's dressed while he's walking around with the PSP.
She gets the same thing for Sean Lee as she gets her 12-year-old nephew.
That's really
There's
true.
Some socks and underwear.
And a PSP game. Right.
We're waiting for PlayStation 3 to come out.
Oh, that's $600.
Oh, is it that much?
$600.
Oh, yeah, I don't love them that much.
Yeah, you better sell a few more copies. I've been there, done that, kept the jewelry.
No, I do love him that much. I just need to. Yeah, you're right. So people go out and buy. Been there, done that. Kept the jewelry just so I could buy my husband a PlayStation 3. Otherwise, he'll leave me.
Next book, been there, done
Your
that.
Your husband
kept
that's
the PlayStation
like 35
3.
Years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. He's actually just turned 36. He's an old man now. So we're out to dinner and we have this couple. There was three couples total. Okay, and one of the couples is always there early, never late. And we all get there, and this couple that's always early is late. And we're like, that's unusual. But so we're sitting and we're waiting a long time, and we're calling on the cell phone, and there's no answer. And we're like, what happened to them? Are they even alive? So we're sitting and waiting. And while you're waiting, you know, it's rude to order before people get there. So you just sort of sit and ask for more bread. And,
Not
and
my
have,
family.
And have drinks. Oh, they just start ordering and start eating?
Yeah.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
No, you have to.
He'll be here in 5 minutes. Let him catch up. We're hungry now.
Yeah, no, not us. This was fine because Sean Lee had a couple of drinks. Our other friends had a couple of drinks. The people are having a couple of drinks. And the basket of bread comes, and the first thing that happens is this. Thank you very much. The first thing that happens is this. The gentleman sitting to the left of me goes and grabs a piece of bread. And as he's talking, he's trying to cut the bread, which is obviously very, very hard. And for some, I don't know how this happened. The bread went flying off of his plate with the knife into the head of the woman behind me.
Oh.
And she was like, what the? And like sort of turned around. And I felt so terrible because I feel like I was distracting him. I was distracting him talking, and that's probably why he was like spacing on his bread and it went flying. And
did the bread hit her in the head or did the knife hit her in
the head?
The
bread hit her in the head.
Okay, but the knife was still attached to it?
The knife flew onto the floor. The bread hit her in the head. And mostly because I kind of like ducked aside because I saw the bread come. Like, you know, you see something in your peripheral vision. So it hit her behind me. So I go to turn around to apologize. And I swear this happened. I go to turn around to apologize and sort of like pushed my seat back a little. Just as I turn around, the waiter is coming with a tray.
Oh, no.
And on the tray are a bunch of glasses full of all kinds of drinks, which go flying on her.
Oh, so first she gets smacked with
bread. First she gets smacked with bread in the back of the head. Then she gets a tray of drinks dumped all over her because I was turning around quickly to apologize for the bread that I felt on some level was my fault.
Wow.
She was actually really cool about it because we were all like, oh my God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We were like throwing our napkins at her. We're like, I'm sorry, like trying to dry her up. And I'm like, I'll buy your drinks, I'll buy your dinner. And the restaurant is like, the waiter's like, no, we will. And I'm like, no, we will. And she's like, no, it's cool, it's okay. You know, she was upset and whatever.
Was she soaked?
She was soaked. She was soaked. I got to say, she had a great sense of humor because anyone else would have been like, you little.
That would have hit you with a chair.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised she didn't get up and deck me. I was all planning for her. She was a little older.
But did she know that it was you that hit the waiter to knock him over? Or did she think it was just the waiter being clumsy?
No. She knew it was me because at that point, it all happened really quickly. It was like a hit and run accident kind of thing where the bread hit her on the head. So she turned around to see where the bread came from. And when she realized it was us, I was like really quick to turn around to apologize. And as I was turning around and kicking my chair back, the waiter, it was just perfect timing, was happened to be walking by. You know when like your chairs are kind of back to back and it's just enough room for the waiter to get by. But if you move the chair the littlest bit, the waiter is going to be caught unaware.
Right.
Well, that's pretty much the position we were in. The timing was ridiculous. Like there's no, I couldn't have planned this. If I was shooting a movie and wanted this scene to be in it, I could not have coordinated this better.
It would have been a 10-take shot.
I'd been like, no, the chair and the waiter need to come at the same time as the lady's turning around. It's exactly what happened. And she was, every single drink just flew on her.
Just her, not anybody else at her table, just her?
Well, the way they were sitting at their table, it was a table for four, but there were three of them. And the other chair that got drenched, there was not a person in.
Oh.
So really, she was lucky her. Lucky her. Lucky her, got hit in the head with bread and then dumped about four drinks on her.
Now, was it like wine and stuff that would like stain her clothes or was it like water?
Luckily, there was a couple of alcoholic drinks, but nothing. I think one of them was like a vodka drink and then just nothing. Sodas, that kind of thing. A water, like a big water. Nothing. Luckily, nothing that would stain. But she was absolutely drenched. I felt awful. I felt awful. I could not believe it. I was so mortified.
So at that point, do you want to get up away from the table and just move tables to get away from this lady? Or do you have to sit there all night long and eat behind her?
Keep apologizing every 5 minutes.
I didn't need to. She moved. She said to the waiter, could you please get us another table?
This woman's a menace.
Away from this woman here.
Away from this woman. Because I didn't even hit her with the bread. My friend did.
But she didn't know that.
No, she didn't know that, but
You're a menace.
He was so busy laughing, I turned around to apologize, just because I figured one of us should apologize, and he's busy giggling and cackling and thinking what he did was hilarious, that I turned around to apologize at the wrong time. Had I not been polite, had I not tried to apologize, she would have been dry. But she actually, once she got all cleaned up and everybody offered to buy their meal and their drinks and their dessert and like come back again, like you don't understand. Like I was like willing to, I was like, I even gave her my card. I said, give me the dry cleaning bill if there's a problem. You know, if anything, I was so freaked out. So I'm sitting there and Sean leans over and goes, I think they're leaving. So I turn around and I see, no, they're not leaving. They're just moving tables. And the waiter comes over and I said, did she move because of us? And he said, yes, she did. She did. She asked. She said, do you have another table? I'd rather not sit next to these people.
Wow. These people.
These people.
All of a sudden, you're these people.
I know. We became these people. Then, you know, there was a candle on the table. I thought, next thing I'm doing is setting her dress on fire. So she really should move.
Reminds me of the Blues Brothers. You ever seen that movie when they go to the fancy restaurant? And they lean back, and there's a whole table of people, fancy people behind them. How much for the little girls?
Yes. That's exactly what it was like. And it was the kind of thing where I thought, I'm not going to come in and tell you because you're not going to believe me. But you know what an absolute dork I am.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that I'm just as clumsy can be. So I figured maybe I will tell you the story, and it won't shock you.
Yeah, wherever Cooper goes, drama follows.
Didn't shock me at all.
No.
Yeah, that's what I figured. And what was so funny is when the other couple finally showed up, we were so busy. We were like so mortified. They were like, what? What do we miss? And we're like, you're never going to believe it. You see that lady all the way down there? And they actually took turns walking by her table to go to the bathroom, like which was like not the way to the bathroom, but they purposely walked that way because
right.
they wanted to see how wet she was. They wanted to see if she was completely drenched.
Was
still.
Mary there with you?
Of course.
Oh, I cannot
of course. Imagine. I don't go anywhere without my Mary.
Was he the one that threw the bread at the...
No,
was
it wasn't
different,
him.
Different one?
It was a different... Yeah, it was a different Mary.
Oh, okay.
You know, just so long as all the Marys get it done at some point.
Right.
But yeah, so what have you dumped on yourself at dinner? Hey, James, how are you?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. A little humiliated, but other than that, just fine.
I know exactly how you feel. I was telling... Chad, I was at a baseball game a year ago or so, and, you know, first inning, coming back with a big old tray of sodas and hot dogs and whatever, and had my little son walking with me because he wanted to go with me, and
mm-hmm.
hit the step and hit it with the back of my heel or something, tripped and dumped everything in a guy's lap.
Oh, no. Was it a really big guy?
No, I mean, he wasn't, like, huge or anything. He was, you know, he was bigger than me because I'm not a very big guy. But I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I didn't even realize it at first, you know, because I was so embarrassed that I cut my shin on the concrete step. And I was also, you know, I was bleeding.
Oh,
I
my goodness.
I wasn't paying attention to that. I was paying attention to the fact that, you know, he's got this immediate, you know, I want so bad to beat you up. You know, but yeah, and I was like, man, I'll buy you, you know, a drink or whatever, you know, what can I do? He's like, just leave.
Just leave.
And I said, all right, and I picked up everything, and you know, he had ketchup and mustard and soda and everything all over him. I was like,
oh man.
No.
Yeah. And I even went back to the concession stand and got them to give me a little wash rag or whatever, and went back, and he refused it. He was like, Just
go away from me.
Get out of my face, man.
Please. And he was only like, you know, 5 seats away from me. So
no. You had to look at him the whole time.
This is in the first inning, so I'm just like, oh.
And Cooper, there are 9 innings in the game.
I was going to ask, what do you have, 15 more to go?
It was
okay,
about,
nine.
It was about, so he had to sit there for about 2.5 hours
right.
with the guy 5 seats
no.
away.
Yeah. Oh, ho. And I like the fact that the guy didn't want to beat you up because you were already bleeding.
I don't know. I found out about 5 minutes later. My wife was like, are you okay? You're bleeding. I was like, oh, I am. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. James, that's hilarious. So, you know, the woman did not want to beat me up.
That's a good thing.
I got very lucky because she would have had every right to just pummel me if she wanted to.
Well, you really don't know what to do in that situation. Do you beat them up? Do you take their money? You don't know what to do.
Now, Amy, if somebody was to dump, oh, I don't know, food on you, how would you respond?
Oh, I was so mad when they dumped food on me.
Where were you?
I was on an airplane. And I was a senior in high school going to visit a college all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And they dumped the tray of, you know, it was a vegetarian meal because I'm a vegetarian, which mm-hmm. on airline... You know, airplanes, not the best food anyway, but the vegetarian meal is particularly nasty.
Yes.
Comes it all over me. I get to Seattle to connect, and they canceled my flight. And they left me stuck in the airport all night.
Covered in food.
Yes. Then I get to Spokane, where I'm going to visit the college, and they lost my bags.
Oh, no.
No clothes. I had to borrow sweatpants from a girl in the dorm who I was staying with and had to wear her sweatpants for 3 days.
I can't believe all this happened to you from one airline.
It was United.
Oh!
She had to give the name.
Yeah, she had to give it, of course. Please, we have to know. We have to be prepared. So if you fly United, just wear like a hefty bag
exactly.
over your clothes.
Wear your rain gear or
rain gear. Yeah. Right, a slicker of some kind. One of those Kiss the Cook aprons. Just yeah. anything, just to keep them.
Yeah, well, now you don't have to worry about it because they don't serve food on airlines anymore.
Yeah, that's true. They don't serve food on airlines anymore, at least.
If they drop a sandwich on you, you'll be all right.
Oh, Amy, that's awful. You know, what's so funny is the fact that it wasn't just the food that got dumped on her. She had, like, an entire chain of events happen
afterwards.
Was there,
like, wine and stuff?
Was there wine on the flight?
No. That got dumped on the lady behind you.
No, not red wine or anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we had this conversation.
Yeah, I know. I was just asking again.
Where were you?
That was like 10 minutes ago. I'm rehashing it.
Oh, okay.
Do you have that short-term memory problem that you don't remember anything that happened just a few minutes ago? Do we have to keep reminding you who we are and where you are and that kind of stuff?
Hey, look, Misty,
I think he's
line
having,
three.
I think he's having side effects from that $1,000 product he has in his hair.
Oh, that's what it must be. Misty, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Now what did your grandmother do?
Oh my gosh. She was a waitress in the 1950s in a restaurant, and I guess they had some kind of dessert or appetizer that you set on fire before you serve.
Mm-hmm.
So she carried it out to the table and she set the food on fire and went to set it on the table and dropped it in the man's lap.
Oh no.
Yes.
She dropped an appetizer that was on fire.
Yeah.
On somebody. What happened? Did the guy catch on fire?
She said she took the handkerchief and was trying to pat it out, and it was awful. And I said, well, did they fire you? And she said, no, I didn't give them time. Right afterwards, I turned around and said, I quit, and turned my apron in and left.
Yeah, once you set a guy on fire, you can't go back to that place again.
No more.
Yeah, no. Now, did you inherit her clumsiness, or are you pretty good?
Oh, my gosh, I am awful. I am amazingly clumsy, and I serve as a part-time job in a restaurant, and I have dropped I don't know how many things on people, glasses of tea.
Oh, no.
I dropped a hamburger on a lady's lap and her with white pants on.
No.
Well, it's a family tradition. You have to keep doing it. It's a family
Absolutely.
Tradition.
Absolutely.
You can't just wait tables. You've got to wait tables badly.
Absolutely. Laughter is the best medicine, and I do laugh daily.
Absolutely. You and I should definitely hang out together. It would just be like a mess coming through. Misty and Cooper, look out. Now, Pam, you spilled hot soup on somebody?
Oh, yeah. It was the first year I was married, and I was going to try banquet waitressing, which I was not familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And my hat's off to those folks because you're carrying, you know, the lead crystal salt and pepper shakers and all silver and everything else on huge trays.
Mm-hmm.
And the door to the kitchen, you could see in, but you couldn't see out, so she could not see me, and I could see her.
Okay.
And I went in anyway, and she was coming out with a full tray of hot French onion soup, the hot cheese on top and everything.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, so it went down her arm, and and that was my last night there. I never went back.
Gee, I can't imagine why. Hmm.
I was so embarrassed, but I checked on her, and she said she was okay, so at least I don't think she scarred, but that soup, no.
At least she didn't scar.
Oh, I was so worried about her. But
I love
anyway,
that's your criteria. That's so funny. I did a good job waitressing. I didn't really scar anyone.
That's so true.
But you anyway, tried. You tried. That's all that's important. You tried to waitress, and you tried to scar.
That's how I look at it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Pam. Thank you. Now, Chris, you would never do such a thing, right?
No. What
no.
Are you talking about? Me?
Never.
No, I am like the portrait lesbian. How could you ever imagine?
Exactly. You're perfect.
Exactly.
However. I suspect,
yeah. I was like seven or like eight. We were in Outback, I think. And it was my birthday. And so, you know, the old Heinz 57 ketchup bottles? Somebody
sure.
thought it would be really funny to leave the ketchup lid off. And I'm 7 years old. I don't think to check the lid. And so I start shaking it up.
Oh, no.
And I shook the lid, and the lid goes flying across the room. And so does the ketchup. And the ketchup goes all over me and all over everybody at the table. And then my cousins start laughing hysterically. And one of them, like, slings her arm over and hits two drinks, and they go in my lap, too.
Yeah, you and I definitely should hang out.
Yeah, my birthday sucked. Cool.
Yeah, well, but you, me, and everybody who's called, actually, so far. We should all go out together.
Yes.
We should warn the restaurants ahead of time before we show up. You, me, and Misty.
If I was sitting
exactly.
at that table...
like half the restaurant.
Yeah, we would.
Chad was sitting at the
table.
I would
have had a seizure.
Yeah, you would have had a seizure.
If ketchup would have touched me, I would have passed out right there.
Or what have you had dumped on
you
from
the waiter?
What
have you had dumped on you at dinner from a waiter? I don't want to feel like I'm the only one in the world who did this to somebody. Please, somebody call and tell me that you've done this or had this done so I don't feel like a complete dork.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.